Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2, this is Sports Rage. I am Morenci.
Yeah, I like to get different guests' opinions. Mo's a smart football guy. He was a good wide receiver, Mo. Very good. Played university ball, Concordia Stingers. Mo, wide receivers. He's a tall guy. Mo's a big dude. We'll ask him next week. I think Mo's probably, he's not 6'5". I'm 6'3", and I think Mo's a little taller than me. I think Mo's about like 6'4", 210 type. He looks like a wide receiver. When you see him, like he looks like, you know what I mean? Or he looks like a basketball player, like Mo. He's an athletic dude. He was a good athlete, Mo. All right, so we were talking about the Chicago Bears. I said the same thing, if you remember, guys, last week when we were talking about this prop. It's still 10-1. No, there's been no movement on this. Eventually, these lines are going to move a bit. I like Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is a good quarterback, but I think it's almost negligent. It is negligent how the Chicago Bears, they're the worst run franchise in the NFL. And that's saying something, because there's some pretty bad run organizations, right? Like, but they really are the worst. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't pay anybody. They get rid of all their best players. Like, why'd you trade Khalil Mack? You guys, like, you know what I mean? You go 12-4 or 13-3, whatever. Things are going well. You know, even Trubisky, you blame Trubisky for everything. The coaching staff, Matt Nagy was, like, terrible. Ryan Pace was an idiot. Guy trades up, like, a spot to take, like, Mitch. Like, dude, like, everything that he did was just stupid. And now they get Justin Fields, who's good. They give him no help whatsoever at all. Like, you're setting this kid up for failure. Like, you really are. You're, like, setting, like, basically... It is what it is. Like, if you're Justin Fields, you're just going to have to get through this. You're almost better off if they just do give up on you. Like, it would be better. Like, I'm not saying tank the season if you're Fields, but you'll get picked up after anyways. But if you're Fields, all you can do is play as good as you can play for yourself, and then eventually you get the hell out of there the first chance you get. Like, you know what I mean? But, yeah, the Chicago Bears are a disaster. And they play in a tough division, right? The Green Bay Packers are good. Yeah, they lost Davante Adams, but it's not like the Packers are suddenly... I don't trust the Packers in a big game anymore. I'm done with that, but the Packers are going to win games. The Minnesota Vikings, I think, are a sleeper this year. I think the Vikings are a very good team. And I think the Vikings are about to do big things this year. And the Detroit Lions are definitely, like, going in the right direction. The Lions are a ton of talent. Like I said, the Lions are, like... The Lions have a plan, at least. The Lions have a bunch of players. Look at the talent of the Lions compared to the Bears. Alabama have more talent than the Bears do. And I don't like saying that, because I'm not saying, oh, Alabama will beat the Chicago Bears. They wouldn't, but they have more talent. You know what I mean? Put it this way. Like, there's, like, you know, 7 first-round draft picks coming up next year on Alabama. You show me 7 first-round draft pick talents on the Bears. You know what I mean? Darnell Mooney. Well, every year, Mooney. I look for Mooney. Whatever, dude. Mooney's like a number 2 guy, a number 3 guy, right? He's good. He's okay. Even he's screwed. They're all screwed. Worst team in the league, 10-1. Bears, not bad. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustler, and everybody else in between. We're just getting started. You like baseball? We're going to have some baseball talk coming up. Former minor league executive of the year, 3-time champion with the Toronto Blue Jay organization. Jason B. Takafin, who's the general manager, will step up and enjoy. We'll talk baseball, a lot of stuff to unpack. Major League Baseball draft was tonight, and pretty crazy stuff as far as this draft. Very entertaining draft this evening by baseball standards. I think they've done a nice job of what they've done with the All-Star weekend so far, and it's just getting started as we've got the Home Run Derby coming up. But it's amazing. Matt Holliday. So remember, a seven-time All-Star outfielder, Matt Holliday, Jackson Holliday, son of seven-time All-Star outfielder Matt Holliday, gets taken with the first overall pick, the only other son of a former Major League Baseball player to be taken first overall in the Major League Baseball draft, Ken Griffey Jr. He was pretty good, that guy, huh? In 1987. And Andrew Jones's kid. It was all about father and son. It's the first time ever that four sons of Major League Baseball players went in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft. Jackson Holliday, son of Matt Holliday. Drew Jones, son of Andrew Jones. Justin Crawford, son of Carl Crawford. And Cam Collier, son of Luke Collier. Now, one of the big stories of the draft tonight as well was Kamar Rocker. Kamar Rocker, who is now reunited with his former Vanderbilt teammate and Jack Leiter, son of Al. Man, these big leaguers, man, it's like there's a new generation of them coming up here. But the Rangers, last two first-round picks are the Vanderbilt standouts. And these guys had 179 strikeouts. Like I'm telling you, man, Rocker is a big-time pitcher. He got drafted last year 10th overall by the Mets. But in the baseball draft, you don't have to take it. You can put yourself back in the draft. He didn't like the fact that he went 10th. He gambled on himself. People said, you're crazy. He gambled on himself. And he ends up going 3rd overall tonight to the Texas Rangers. Rangers have scary bats, too, man. A lot of exciting stuff going on in baseball. How about Baltimore? Yeah, Baltimore had the top pick tonight. They're rocking going into the All-Star break. The Mariners on a 14-game win streak. Dodgers up 10 in the West. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. .com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. All right, I want to get to the UFC. We'll get to that after. I just want to continue the baseball talk right now about Juan Soto. We're going to have Jason B. Takafin joining us in a couple minutes. We'll get his take on this. But we're talking about teams that are viable. And listen, there's a lot of media markets right now, and there's a lot of reports popping up and fan bases and blogs, etc., fan base websites that are explaining the reasons why their team is in the mix. But you know, there's always the usual suspects, and then there's always the out, you know what I mean, the surprise team, right? Oh, whoa, these guys, whoa, nobody saw that one coming. And I'm going to throw a surprise team at you right now. The team we were just talking about, the Texas Rangers. The Texas Rangers. Texas Rangers are a sleeping giant, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're the Texas Rangers, there's money in Texas. There's money in Dallas. Like, they're the Dallas Cowboys team. You know what I mean? So, like, their fans are Cowboy fans. It's a lucrative market. It's a lucrative market that wants to win, right? It's a success. You know, it's a market that if you're successful, there's a lot of money to be made. And the Texas Rangers ownership group have money. They've shown a willingness to spend that money. They spent more than $500 million on Corey Seager and Marcus Semien in this past offseason. Right, so they, you know what I mean? Like, you look at the Texas Rangers, how many times did he go, whoa, whoa, Rangers, whoa, whoa, Rangers, huh? Right, Rangers have spent some money. And Rangers can put runs on the board, right? The Rangers can put runs on the board. Pitching is an issue for them. Pitching is an issue for a lot of teams right now. But the Rangers are an up-and-coming team right now, as are the Seattle Mariners. There's a changing of the guard, like, eventually coming. There's a lot of good young teams right now, and the Rangers are one of them. And the thing with the Rangers is they do have a very good farm system, right? They have a very deep farm system. This is why you can't just sort of like, you can't just build a franchise. Like, you know what I mean? Like a lot of teams, oh, we'll sign this guy and sign that. Like a lot of people think the Los Angeles Dodgers somehow, oh, the Dodgers buy this and buy that. They can buy whatever they want. They don't really sign that many free agents, the Dodgers, if you'll notice. They don't go after these crazy deals. The Dodgers don't like long-term contracts, right? Like, there's a lot of, like, I remember last year, you know, the San Francisco fans, oh, the Dodgers this, the Dodgers that. It's like, shut up. Like, 14 of the 25 guys are, like, from their system or whatever. Like, the Dodgers have a high ratio of, ingrown talent. But it's sort of like saving stocks and money. If you have, you know what I mean? If you have money, you can invest. And the Dodgers have always been one of the best, if not the best, farm system in baseball, right? And this is why the Dodgers are able to swing these deals all the time, because they can afford to do it, right? Number one, they have the money to afford to pay the player, and then number two, they actually have the capital that they can trade for the player, right? So like the Lakers, look how poorly, like look at how the Dodgers are run, and look how the Lakers are run. Like, the Lakers, they can't even, like, be in the mix for any of these trades because they're locked in with so many bad deals already, right? They don't have any young prospects and stuff. I actually read something tonight, too, about how the Lakers are hesitant to give up Horton Tucker and Kyrie. You're hesitant. Like, you guys are going to be, he's going to look like Red Fox, man, Sanford and Son. You guys are going to be hesitant to trade this kid still. Hesitant. Like, I'm tired. I'm not trying to single a kid out, but I don't understand this whole thing, like, about, like, what they see and what, like, sort of like, you know what I mean, looking in the mirror and seeing yourself all ripped and stuff. It's like, talk about, like, overvaluing your talent, man. It's like I said with the Knicks the other day. Oh, you can't give up Grimes and Quickly and Obi Toppin. Yeah, who cares? Who cares? You think you're winning with them? Like, really, who cares? You know what I mean? Oh, the T-Wolves, and they gave up Vanderbilt, too. It's like, oh, yeah, it's the end of the world now. Yeah, but keep it on the Texas Rangers for Juan Soto. They have the money, and if you're Juan Soto and you're making $500 million, it's not a bad thing to know that there's no state tax, which I would let him know, right, if I was the Rangers. I'd say, listen, you play for the Dodgers, bro. You play for the Dodgers. You're going to be giving a lot of that money up, man. Right? Like $68 million of it or something like that. Right? Like after this and that. So you come here, right? I'm just saying. It's a big perk in the NHL, that. That's why everybody wants to play for the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hockey players are big on that. Most hockey players are Canadian. And there's high taxes in Canada, so they don't want to play for Canadian teams because of the taxes. And a lot of other players are European, right? And they don't really care. They're used to high taxes, and they don't really care, whatever. But you'll notice, like, look at, like, Tampa's roster and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, or the Panthers. Like, people will sign there. Like, Steve Stamkos is a good example. Like, the Toronto Maple Leafs tried to get Steve Stamkos when he was a free agent a few years ago, three or four years ago. And they offered him a lot of money, man. Like, you know what I mean? They went, like, max all in. It was, like, $12 million a year or whatever. It was, like, really big. And he would have been the highest paid player in the league. And it wasn't enough. Like, he even told them, like, he said, I would do this, and you know what I mean? I wouldn't mind playing for you, and I'm from here. And, like, he basically was like, but he said, I just can't, it's too much money. Like, there was a difference of, like, $38 million or something, right, in the taxes. And they brought in, like, sponsors and stuff and said, listen, you know, you can make this with this sponsor or not. Some people, you know what I mean, they don't care, right? Some people are like, I'm already rich. I don't care. I'll play anywhere. I don't care about a tax. Some other guys are like, well, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't want to give that up. And so I'm just throwing it out there as far as the Texas Rangers for Soto. I think, you know, that's sort of on the more extreme side. Not extreme, but like sort of the outlier, right? Texas Rangers, Seattle Mariners are another one that could really freak people out with this. They've got the farm system. Like, if you go through the teams, basically, like, okay, like the New York Post and the Yankees, the media's flipping out of New York. Number one, the Yankees don't want to spend money. The Steinbrenners are cheap. Number two, the Yankees don't have enough prospects. You've got, like, two blue chips. It's not enough. So the Yankees are out. Number two, the Mets. Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen's got more money than, you know, the entire league put together, essentially. It doesn't matter, right? They're not going to trade Soto to a division rival and have to deal with this kid for the next 10 years in their life. And you know what I mean? It's a non-starter. And the Mets have prospects, but not quite deep enough. And the Nationals aren't going to, they're not doing it in a division. It's sort of been put out there. It's not happening. The Mets are going to be on the outside looking in on this. All right, so you get into the Dodgers. The Dodgers could totally do it, right? The Dodgers have multiple top prospects. They could pull it off no problem. Do they want to pick up another $450, $500 million in contracts? They make a lot of money, but they don't make that much. You know what I mean? It's starting to cut in a little bit here. And do they need Soto, or is this a luxury item? And then, and or, okay, if you don't do it, you're going to let him go to San Diego? Because where does San Diego want in on this? So to me, my own personal opinion, I think the front runners are the, you know, San Diego and Los Angeles. I think those are the two front runners here that could pull it off, that have the money. It's out of the division that they could deal with. And then we get into, don't discount the Seattle Mariners. Don't discount the Texas Rangers. And there are reports that the St. Louis Cardinals are interested, which, never doubt the Cardinals. The Late Night Anger Management Class, Jason B. Takefitz thoughts next. Bring it.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. We're throwing it down. Sirius XM channel 159 on Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates as we head into the Major League Baseball All-Star break. It was one of the wildest and craziest weeks in modern memory. Let's bring in Jason B. Takefin, former Minor League Executive of the Year. Jason B. Takefin, a three-time A-ball champion, steps up and in. It's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us tonight. Jason, how you doing, my man?
Gabe, we can have a five-hour show on just this past week and not talk anything balls and strikes or what happened on the field.
It really is amazing what a week it was on and off the field, actually, in the world of Major League Baseball. But I tell you what, if you won 14 consecutive games, then you get to bat leadoff on Sports Rage, and the Seattle Mariners head into the All-Star break as 14-game winners, Jason.
Yeah, you know, after May 25th, they lost the series to the lowly Oakland A's. They were 18-27, and I had taken the over. I'm very bullish on them. I actually sprinkled a little bit more. They were heavy favorites. They were heavy underdogs, to go to win the ALCS. They were down and out. Nobody was hitting. They're talking about trading Jesse Winker. They're talking about who they're going to trade at the deadline. Since then, they're nine games over. They're 33-15 since May 25th. They're absolutely on fire. Even if you take away that 14-game winning streak, that's still incredible. Even if you literally took away those 14 games, they are 19-15, which is still pretty good. They're definitely on an absolute run.
Now, for those of you who have wondered, and you know what? We've wondered the same thing, actually. I'll ask you, Jason. So if you've got a 14-game win streak, yeah, you don't want to stop playing right now, right?
No.
I mean, your team's rolling like this. Like, really? We've got to take the week off now? We're in the middle of this. But how about this for historical purposes? The Mariners extend their win streak to 14 games, the longest streak by any team heading into the All-Star break. Only two other teams have had 10-plus game win streaks entering into the All-Star break. Oh. Both went on to win the World Series.
Oh. 1975
Cincinnati Reds, 1935 Detroit Tigers. So I know, listen, we're going back a ways, and nobody's going to be comparing the Mariners to the Big Red Machine. But at the same point in time, I'm just saying, you know, the only two teams ever had double-digit winning streaks going into the All-Star break, both did win the World Series. So what do you think about this momentum thing?
Yeah, I love – I was very bullish on the Mariners. There's a few things to look out for per MLB.com, and this is obviously before the draft. They had four of the top 96 prospects. One of them is Matt Brash. He's already in the show, so let's say three. That's pretty good. They're getting 2020 AL Rookie of the Year Kyle Lewis back. That's pretty good. Mitch Haniger is coming back. And whenever we talk about the Mariners, we have to mention that they have the longest active streak of missing the postseason in the big four major sports. They are going to be all at the deadline. They are going to be super aggressive, and I'm going to give you a sneaky name to look out for the AL Cy Young, and it's last year's AL Cy Young winner, Robbie Ray. He leads the league in batters faced, innings, and starts. His ERA has gone down 1.4 runs since June 1st, and that's going to remind you a little bit about last year, because he was a late bloomer last year. Last year in mid-June, he had a 3.54 ERA, finished with a 2.84 while leading the league in WHIP, ERA plus, ERA starts, and innings pitched. So Robbie Ray, he is turning it on. He is earning every single dime of that massive contract he signed.
Don't tell Toronto Blue Jay fans that, because they thought, oh no, well look, they made the right move. And listen, it was a lot of money, and Robbie Ray wasn't in Cy Young form to start the season, but everything is just starting to come together for this baseball team right now. And they're competing for a wild card spot. I mean, yeah, listen, it's maybe if they were in another division, they'd be competing for a division title right now, but you're dealing with the Houston Astros. So a team that they're competing with are the Boston Red Sox. And as hot as the Seattle Mariners are going into the All-Star break now, what a weekend for the Boston Red Sox. And it's almost like I can't believe this, actually, that with their loss today against the New York Yankees, the Red Sox are now 0-10-1 in series against the AL East this year.
Yeah, it shows you how strong that division is.
0-10-1. They haven't won one series.
Yeah.
It's the first time in the history of the Boston Red Sox that they haven't won a series against a team in a division this long into the season, going into the All-Star break.
And by the way, you're not talking about a team that's rebuilding. You're talking about a team that's two games out of a wild card spot. They're three games over 500. That's a good team. You are literally, it is a huge hat tip to the American League East. As good as the Red Sox were, as bad as the Red Sox have been in their last three series, they split against the Yankees. They got swept four games against the Rays. And then the Yankees just took two out of three from them. The Rays had a very sneaky good week also. They took four straight against the Red Sox, swept them at home, and then just won two out of three against the Orioles to create a little bit of distance there going into the break. It was very subtle. Obviously, everything Tampa does is very subtle, but it was during the week, and then this week against the Orioles, they went 6-1. Really, really effective way to get to 10 games over 500.
Jason B. Takifin, kick it with us. And Jason, I think, I've said it before, and I'm not alone. When people think, well, this might be it for Tampa, right? This is going to be tough for them coming into this year. I didn't. Like, now I've learned my lesson. I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, they're probably going to the World Series. That's the way I look at it every year, no matter who's on the team. But this year, a couple of weeks ago, bro, you know what I mean? They were starting to fade a little bit, and then you heard the same conversations popping up.
Yeah.
This is different with Tampa. They just don't have enough firepower. There's too many injuries. They're not going to be in the mix for much longer. And then they just sort of remind you, no, we'll be in the mix until we say we're not in the mix.
Yeah, they find ways to win. There's no comparable to them. You know how I love my intersports comparison. Houston Astros are very much like Florida State in the 90s. They are always there. They replenish. It doesn't matter who leaves. With Tampa,
I'd say I'd throw one at you. Let me throw one at you here. Even though it's a little bit different because they got Ja Morant, but the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Memphis Grizzlies have been a team for years in which even before Ja got there, they were pretty good. And it was like, who are these guys? Who's even on this team? And he'd be like, well, they got rid of this guy. They got rid of this guy. And then you'll notice, man, the Grizzlies are pretty tough out in the playoffs, aren't they? I'm just thinking off the top of my head because you're right. There's not a lot of comparables because no team operates in the same way that they do.
Yeah. If Oakland A's, if Moneyball was made over a 20-year period or a 15-year period as opposed to just like 2002, and of course, the Rays have these two Goliaths in their division. That's not even including Baltimore, who from 2012 to 2016 led Major League Baseball in regular season wins, and Toronto, who probably has the richest owners out of all of them, Canada's biggest telecom company. They literally have four enormous pillars in front of them. They keep on winning. They make great trades. I think they're very similar to almost the New Jersey Devils in that they're not beholden to history. Like, they're okay with trading Chris Archer. They're okay with trading Evan Longoria. They're okay with letting Carl Crawford walk. They can just do things their own way, and no one notices. They don't have a very big, or at least a very vocal fan base and a huge alumni that will
it's
get
It's almost been by, like, it's, yeah. it's not by choice. It's almost like they've had to learn.
It's an asset,
like
though.
That.
At this point, it is an enormous asset. You know, the New Jersey Devils, guys like Patrick Elias, they used to be able to say, yeah, we can go out for dinner. It is a huge asset to them.
But think, Jason, and it's amazing with the Rays guys, and I want to get to some other teams, obviously, as well, but they started the relief starter deal.
Yeah.
Right? And I remember at the time thinking, oh, what a train wreck. I remember, like, betting against it the first couple of times years ago. I was like, man, they're starting the bullpen. And, oh, yeah? How'd that work out after? And they... Yeah. Like, they've really, and I know that wasn't by design, right? They didn't think, you know what, it'd be really good if we don't have any starting pitchers because we can't pay anybody, so let's just start the guy from the bullpen and see what happens.
Yeah.
No, it was like they were forced to, and it ends up revolutionizing the game in a way. But let me ask you, the question sort of writes itself in a sense, back to Seattle here, and we got about a minute left in this segment here, that the Mariners are in a great spot, considering the teams you just mentioned, the Rays, the Blue Jays, and the Boston Red Sox, and even now we consider the Baltimore Orioles in the conversation, they're all going to be playing each other.
Yeah.
The Seattle have the best situation moving forward out of these wildcard teams.
Yeah, I mean, their division might be a little bit easier because Anaheim or the Angels and the Rangers have cooled off a little bit. And obviously the A's are probably going to take their rebuild by trading Frankie Montes and, a few other Major League Baseball players. They're going to sort of take that to another layer. That said, I believe in curses, and I believe in the Tampa Bay Bucks not being able to win a road game when it's less than freezing for 30 years. Like, that stuff gets in your head, right?
So the playoff drought is real for you. You're not shooting it off.
Because they're all going to be hearing about it, and it's going to be very difficult for them to block it out, especially if they don't have an enormous deadline. I personally think they will, but if they don't, you are going to start hearing the footsteps, and you're going to start hearing the eye rolls, so to speak, from their fans and from national writers.
Well, I'll tell you what, as far as a big deadline, and we know what happened last year. They didn't acquire anybody. They let Graveman go. Ended up set the clubhouse, but then the clubhouse came together and they ended the season strong. And we'll get to this on the other side, is the Juan Soto sweepstakes.
Yeah.
And it's early right now, but John Heyman's reporting. John Heyman was reporting that San Diego are going to want to be all in on this. They're hoping to get a piece, at least, get in the mix here. But word out of Pacific Northwest, the Seattle Mariners. And the Mariners have the prospects to do it, but you don't believe that they're willing to spend that much money, right?
Yeah, I don't. I think whoever wants to take on Soto will have to either take on Patrick Corbin and Steven Strasburg also, unless you really want to empty the tank and give out a full team.
Welcome to Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, listen, Strasburg's pitched really well there in the playoffs.
the Dodgers, that's the one team you can sort of, all right, fine, we'll eat this. Because that's what you got to do, exactly right. Not only, guys, this is kind of almost going to be like an NBA deal. With Soto, you're going to have to eat like a bad contract or two along the way to get Soto so they can really clear some space up moving forward. More with Jason B. Tackerman on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The edge, then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Moretti. We're kicking it with a three-time champion, the minor league. I was going to say three-time minor league executive of the year.
Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, I know. Three-time champion and the minor league executive of the year. So let's talk Juan Soto. We were just talking about Juan Soto going into the break briefly. Teams, listen, there's always going to be the usual suspects, and it doesn't mean that they have what it takes as far as the minor league prospects are concerned, but they're going crazy in New York right now.
Yeah.
Like specifically Met fan. They're thinking this is the whole point that we have, Cohen, make this happen. They're in the division. The Yankees, the Steinbrenners, it's not George. Hank and Hal, they're not George. And another thing is, the Yankees have a couple of really good prospects, but they have a couple of really good prospects. They don't have a ton of really good prospects, and I'm not sure they want to give them up and then get into that type of contract situation. The Dodgers have been quiet on this, but obviously they're the deepest as far as, they had three guys starting, man, in a futures game.
Yeah.
Multiple guys. They literally had three starters starting in a futures game on Saturday. And then we get into San Diego, who have shown over the past couple of years, they want in into the arms race. And how do you think this plays out with Juan Soto? Does it happen this quickly, or is this an off-season type of thing?
I hope it happens this quickly because I want to see a team. I want to see a fan base get the energy of having Juan Soto for three playoffs. His contract expires at the end of he is a free agent at the end of the 2024 season. So if you're trading for him now, it's three playoffs. You look at other sports, whether it's JT Miller with the Canucks, and you're like, okay, well, you could have gotten him for two playoffs, so what's the market? If you can get Juan Soto for three playoffs, I think you go all in. There's going to be teams that are going to be very...
So that's a good call, Jason. So in other words, three playoffs and two seasons, right? So you're getting 2 years. You want to get this playoffs out of it. You're right. That's three playoffs. You're getting him to win a World Series, not to win regular season games.
You got two seasons where they haven't sold at full capacity because of COVID. And if you can rule out Juan Soto, let me take you back to a younger Gabe Morency in 2008 when the Los Angeles Dodgers got Manny Ramirez. Think about how that revolutionized that ballpark and that stadium. He probably should have won NL MVP that year. He had a 1,300 OPS, which is astronomical, in the 2.5 months that he was there. If Juan Soto goes to a team, I don't think he's going to go to the AL. There's the five teams he will not go to are the four teams in the NL East, and he will not go to Baltimore. Baltimore, because ironically, the Nationals and the Orioles are involved in a local TV dispute with the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network. And
that's a great point. Yeah, not that it would happen, but it's a great point going back to the...
You guys are fighting each other over profit sharing. Raising the profits of another team that who you're in a lawsuit with isn't the greatest thing in the world, right? So they will probably not go to Baltimore. But if you can get a team and they can feel that adrenaline and you can, and for Washington's sake, you want it to be as less objective as possible. So you're not in suits in a hotel at the winter meetings, but you're seeing the fan base. You're on Twitter. You're feeling the buzz. You have the local radio telling you what to do. You're in this race. And you look at the Padres. You look at the Mariners. These are teams that they have a lot of money. There's no salary cap in baseball. You do what it takes. Right. And if you have to make the trade backloaded where you, let's say, give them money, if you do re-sign them or there's money exchanged or what have you after free agency, if you can lock them up long term, you do it. But if you have a chance to get Juan Soto, you go all in.
I've always believed this about organizations. And I think right now, Jason, and listen, you're an executive, so you have to admire how the Los Angeles Rams have operated.
Yeah.
When you always hear people, oh, is there a salary cap? Is there a salary cap? Yeah, there is. They're good at this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the way they look at it, I heard the same thing with the Knicks the other day. I've heard people, because I was just throwing it out, a crossover sport like that with Donovan Mitchell available, that they wanted 6-round draft picks. All right, that was ridiculous. Get it down to 4, whatever. But and it was like, and Quentin Grimes and Obi Topping and Quickly And I heard people, well, you can't give up Grimes in quickly. I'm like, oh, yeah, because you're winning the NBA title with these guys, right? Like, what are you doing? Like, are we here to win or not? And that's one thing the Dodgers are good at as well. I don't think they like giving up on all these prospects and great young players, but they're not here to win in 2032. They're here to win now.
Yeah.
And I like the aggression. We'll see who steps up and is going to be aggressive here.
Yeah. And you know what? The Dodgers traded Josiah Gray and Keibert Ruiz, who are two top prospects, to get like they have a pretty antsy fan base also. And I know we always talk about with the Dodgers, and I believe that all championships won during COVID count. However, there's something to be said about winning a championship without your fans. And the Dodgers lost two World Series in Chavez Ravine in 2017 in Game 7.
The postseason history on that hill has not been kind over the years, like ever, to be honest.
but
besides the Kirk Gibson night.
No, it's true. They're not. Chavez Ravine is not the greatest playoff place, except for the Kirk. You are 100% right. But even like Rick Monday happened in Montreal. But you are... You are going to be forced to placate fans, especially if, you know, the Padres sort of make moves and they're coming and Fran Tatis comes back and they maybe trade Blake Snell and, you know, you move some money around. Like there is a match with the Cubs.
Well, it's like the neighborhood. It's almost like if you're the Dodgers, I could imagine the conversation going, guys, you know, we're 30 games over 500. We already have an exorbitant payroll. Do we really need to do this? And then it has to come up. Well, if we don't do this, who does? San Diego, San Francisco, and then it, you know, that would be me speaking up. I'd be going, all right, guys. Well, so in other words, you want him to play for San Diego for the next 6 years, and you want to deal with this, or do you want to get him?
Like, you know what I mean? San Diego has the players to make it happen. If they build something around C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore and a few other top prospects, they have been able to keep their prospects together. But we have to remember with San Diego. San Diego was supposed to have gotten Scherzer and Trey Turner last year. It was announced. Now, Cam Stewart vetoed it, as we saw on your show. He didn't really believe it, and that didn't go through. But they are going to be extra all in, and don't think for a second that the Nationals don't know that. That they have a team that they brought in Bob Melvin, they have Clevinger back, that they have a team that lost out to Scherzer and Trey Turner last year after it was announced, and they are going to be overly aggressive to make sure that does not happen again.
Jason Mitakafin kicking with us. All right, Jason, home run derby. Pete Alonso, it's amazing, isn't it, that Pete Alonso has made more money winning the home run derby than he has playing for the New York Mets. He's made $1.4 million for the Mets in salary, and he's made $2 million in the home run derby. So they actually get $1 million, the players. But what I, you know, normally leaves a bad taste in my mouth when rich people are, like, remember when Tiger and Phil played all for 10 mil? It's like, it's almost gross.
Yeah, but aged very well, that game.
Yeah.
That has not, you want to talk about things that like has not aged? It's like Phil Mickelson and Floyd Mayweather when he went to China to fight that kickboxer. Like, these are things that like maybe should be on TV.
Those are things that when they're older and their biography, they're going to be like, I leave that part out. You know what I mean?
What? I have amnesia. What?
Yeah, Floyd, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Yeah. What are you, China? What? You know, Floyd went and beat the kid up that was like 110 pounds or whatever.
Yeah. In one round. He was smiling the whole time.
So you've got the home run derby here. So Pete Alonso is the favorite at +185. Kyle Schwarber is 3-1. The aforementioned Juan Soto. And it's crazy because I said last week, Juan Soto's my guy. Yeah. I didn't want to be obvious. And he sort of caught my eye here. But now that he's out here, going to be really interesting. And I know, Marin, just thinking out loud here, but imagine Soto and Rodriguez on the same team. Your boy Rodriguez, he's getting better every at bat. You notice this? Like, he's starting to take the league over now. Like, before, it was like, oh, he's doing okay. You see what Scott Service said? He goes, man, we're just sort of we're along for the ride now.
I know.
It's his world, and we're just along for the ride right now.
You give credit to Scott Service because he had Julio Rodriguez batting sixth, and then fourth, and then third, and
so
then
he recognized it when he's ready to move him up, huh?
Scott Service is a great baseball guy. He's held a lot of front office jobs. He was assistant GM. He was farm director. He understands.
Good point, Jason. I was going to throw it. That you're right. He didn't start off batting third or fourth like some of these prospects, right? No, you'll bat six.
Yeah. No, Scott Servais, I mean, he's an interesting person because they, not many managers get 7 years without making the playoffs, even though they have a 90-win year, an 88-win year, an 86-win year. They've come close. But the Mariners believe in Scott Servais. But getting to Julio Rodriguez, I can't bet against Juan Soto in a power contest. So if we were, if the home run derby, like, I look at Juan Soto, I'm like, this guy should not lose. But Kyle Schwarber is on an unbelievable heater right now, even amongst compared to like Juan Soto and Alonso, Pete Alonso. I think he's leading the league in RBIs and intentional walks. Like, nobody even wants to look at him right now. And he's won this before a couple of times. Kyle Schwarber would be an interesting value pick because
he's 3-1.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right?
So let me throw the odds out quickly for everybody, and I'll give it to you. Pete Alonso plus 185, Kyle Schwarber plus 300, Juan Soto plus 650, Ronald Acuna Jr. plus 650, Julio Rodriguez right now plus 950, Corey Seager plus 950, going back to Chavez Ravine, Jose Ramirez 15-1, Albert Pujols 23-1. What a fun group we have here. And there's also a prop up at FanDuel. Obviously, there's the head-to-head stuff, but there's also Pete Alonso versus the field. That's how good he is. It's come to. But what do you, so you're with me. Are you going with Soto here? Anyone else catch your eye? What do you make of the home run derby?
Soto with 650 is pretty good. I mean, so I took Acuna to win the MVP 9-1 before the season, knowing he was going to miss the first month because I thought he was going to come out like a house on fire because he was not on the World Series field last year. Like, he missed the playoffs. He busted his ACL in late July. He has played very, very well. He has obviously been dwarfed by Dansby Swanson, Matt Olson with his doubles, Austin Riley, even Max Fried might be in the MVP conversation, or at least in the bottom half of the 10. Acuna, you said Acuna was 9-1 or 650?
650.
That's pretty good because he loves flash, he loves a spotlight, and he is ready to go. He is. He probably feels like he missed out on a really big party last year, and I would take him. Like, that's really good value right there.
Jason B. Takafin with us just for a couple of more moments. So, Jason, before we get you out of here, you and I have given credit, actually. A lot of people, listen, it's low-hanging fruit. Everybody rips Rob Manfred, and not just Manfred, but the marketing of Major League Baseball. But if you haven't noticed the strides that have been made, then you haven't been paying attention. They've really done a lot better job with a lot of things. And you know what? The presentation of the draft tonight was a great example of this. This is the first time that sports, you know, they had odds up. It wasn't, you know, quite, we got to get ahead of this maybe a couple of weeks earlier, and they got to let people know who the prospects are. You got to get bettors involved, essentially. But let me ask you, because we had one team we didn't talk about, and I'll throw it to you here, the Baltimore Orioles, man. Hell of a run that they went on. We talked about the Mariners. Hell of a run that they went on. And, oh, yeah, they also had the top pick in the draft today. Jackson Holliday, son of 7-time All-Star outfielder Matt Holliday, first overall pick. The only other former Major League Baseball father, Major League Baseball son to be taken first overall, Ken Griffey Jr. The Orioles are on the uptick too, bro.
Yeah. I love those picks. I love the fact that they did not take the consensus first overall pick, Drew Jones. But listen, Gabe, I know you like players with chips on their shoulder. And eat your heart out, Shane Wright, because Kumar Rocker went 3rd overall. He was not supposed to go that high in the draft. He is going to be paired with his former Vanderbilt teammate, Jack Leiter. Kumar Rocker was supposed to go very high in last year's draft, but he had a little bit of a shoulder issue. And then he was drafted by the Mets. The Mets opted to not sign him. He is the legitimate definition of worth the price of admission. And the Rangers, who already are having a very solid year.
They got bats already, these guys. Now they made it. How far away is he from the bigs, you think?
I think he's I don't know because I don't know his injury. I don't know if they want to monitor his innings right now. I would be shocked if he's not in the majors, at least by opening day next year. Maybe he'll be depends on how the Rangers are doing.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
It depends on, you know, if they want to sell tickets. I'm not a huge, like, you know, push a guy to sell tickets, but him and Jack Leiter combined, you throw in Seager, you throw in Simming, you throw on this sort of the stable group they've had. Again, they started 6-14, and they've been pretty good ever since. They are only 8 games under 500 now, so they've been 500 since about mid-May. They can hit the ball.
We're up against Jason. The ninth inning has arrived. It's always a pleasure, my man.
Yeah, thank you so much, Gabe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, the Texas market's lighting up right now. They're enjoying it. They're like, yeah, Morency, more Ranger talk. We're going to talk Cowboys next. No, we're going to talk Home Run Derby. I want to get to the matchups. Listen, we're going to be on at 6 o'clock Eastern tomorrow with our final picks for this. It's crazy. If you remember, though, I already told you last week I liked Juan Soto, right? I didn't know Juan Soto suddenly was going to turn down a $440 million contract offer from the Nationals the next day after I told you I liked Juan Soto. That I did not know. And for the record, I know people, it sounds like a lot, but I brought this up earlier. It's $29 million a year. They actually lowballed them, and it's way too long. What are you guys, nuts, 15 years sign on with this team? You guys don't even have an owner. You're selling the team. So you can get the field against Pete Alonso minus 250. That's a bad bet, in my opinion, because Pete Alonso's dominant at this, and he really could just beat everybody. And the field really isn't the field because, you know what I mean, it's head-to-head. So suddenly the field, you're like, oh, I got the field, yeah. After the first round, suddenly, you know what I mean, you've got three other guys, and he's smoking home runs. You'd be like, oh, that wasn't such a good idea to lay 250. I don't think that's a good bet. That's my advice. I don't think it's a good bet. All right, so here are the updated odds. Home Run Derby winner, Pete Alonso, plus 185. Kyle Schwarber has come down, actually, to plus 270. Juan Soto and Ronald Acuna Jr. both remain at plus 650. Julio Rodriguez is slowly coming down right now, actually. People have been clicking Rodriguez right now. This is a heavily bet thing, so the numbers are going to change, guys. So if you're going to bet this, start to think about what you're going to do for real. Corey Seager is plus 950 going back to Dodger Stadium, speaking to the Texas Rangers. Jose Ramirez, Cleveland Guardian, 15-1. Albert Pujols is now 24-1. No love. Pujols' odds are going up, not down. Pete Alonso's the two-time defending champion. Kyle Schwarber is just like murdering baseballs right now. Juan Soto. I gotta tell you what, but if you're Juan Soto loves the spotlight. Did you see Juan Soto do the crying thing the other night on Saturday? It was too good. Soto loves the spotlight. And what better way to get the Dodgers to want to trade for you by winning the Home Run Derby in their stadium in front of them? Bring it.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.